The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. Welcome or welcome back. Hour number two on this Monday, 22nd day of April, 2024. Glad you are here. So as we were working our way through the Friday show, something arose as a blip on the news radar. And we're pretty familiar with, you know, controversies arising from events that take one side or another of an issue. And crazy me, I believe that America is about welcoming all sides. And if you want to have an event that is something I agree with, great. If you want to have an event that is something I disagree with, great. Everybody can go or not go based on whatever their politics, whatever their desires, whatever their taste, whatever their opinions are. That's what sounds like America. And it certainly is what sounds like Texas. It certainly sounds like Fort Worth, Texas, where the West begins. Bastion of liberty and Texas independence and free spirit, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, well, maybe not when certain political grudges come to bear. There was an event planned at the Victory Forest Community Center on Hemp Hill Street in Fort Worth. It was called The Danger of Transgenderism. The guest was a man named Abel Garcia, who, like many other unfortunately misguided men, thought at some point, hey, I think I'm going to go be a woman. Well, not only can you not do that by definition, but also doing that is fraught with dangers and hazards. And Abel is one of the growing community of what are called detransitioners, people who attempted to, and it travels in both directions, women who think they can become men who think they can become women. And they not only learn that that's not possible, but that it's messy and crazy and probably just a bad idea. So, okay, maybe there's this event on this street corner. Maybe down the street there's an event, hey, there are 47 genders, pick one and go with that. Whatever. Sounds like America to me. But in Fort Worth, Texas, the organizers of this event were informed by the city, your stated beliefs do not comply with the City of Fort Worth Park and Recreation Department Community Center policies and procedures. What? And ultimately, their sin falls into the tired old canard that we're not going to devote our space, our time, our money, our tolerance to people who, quote unquote, discriminate. Discriminate? Who's being discriminated against? It's one side of anybody can come. Nobody is barred from the event. Mr. Garcia, I'm sure, believes that transgenderism is dangerous for everyone. So what in the world happened? And there is ultimately, this is infuriating. Don't let the happy ending, the rescue of this event that we'll also tell you about here, don't let that dilute the righteous fury you should have for the City of Fort Worth shutting this down. Now, where did we learn all about this? The sponsor of the group, The acronym is LUCA, L-U-C-A, Latinos United for Conservative Action. Their Texas director is Carlos Tercios, a Fort Worth lad, who joins us now. Carlos, nice to meet you. How you doing?
Nice to meet you, Mark Davis. Thank you.
Did I tell the story right? So far, so good?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. So let's go chronologically, because there is a rescue of the event. But when did you learn? What were the steps taken to secure the Victory Forest Community Center? And I'm guessing you thought, okay, the community center welcomes a variety of views. This will be our view. Who's Mr. Garcia, and how did this event, the idea for this event, come about in the first place?
Well, the idea for the event, you know, came several months ago, actually, because I actually got to know Abel more than a year ago. And I know he mentioned about talking about his story and what he went through as a transgender person and basically what the harms are when it comes to gender reassignment surgery, not just for minors, but even for adults. And so, you know, when I became the Texas director for Latinos United for Conservative Action, you know, I proposed the idea to create an event, you know, to give Abel Garcia a space for him to, of course, share his viewpoints, share his experience, and, of course, you know, give his thoughts about this movement and this whole industry that mm-hmm. exists. And so, you know, earlier this month, we had this space reserved a couple weeks ago, and the city of Fort Worth approved it. We have the receipts, we have the emails where they approved it, and we even reserved the space with money. You know, we paid for the restoration as well, and they took the money. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that the city of Fort Worth is saying is that, well, we didn't know what it was about. You know, it violates our policies. Let's say they had questions. Why didn't they bring it up at the very beginning? Why did they wait less than 48 hours before?
Right.
You know, event was done.
And so you did tell them. You did. I mean, you basically said, hey, guys, we'd like to secure the Victory Forest Community Center on Hemp Hill for an event the morning of Saturday, April 20th,
yep.
for a thing called the Danger of Transgenderism. I mean, you didn't, you know, say it was going to be a bake sale.
Yeah, we reserved the space. We put Latinos United for Conservative Action. If they need more clarification about the application, they should have told us at the very beginning. But they didn't do that. You know, they waited 48 hours before. And so we got the email on April 18 saying that our permit was, of course, canceled. And, of course, they stated in the email, you know, according to the information on the website, Latinos United for Conservative Action, your state beliefs do not comply with the City of Fort Worth Park and Recreation Department Community Center policies and procedures. And, you know, I'm going to read the police statement that we have, because I think it's just ludicrous that, you know, we have to basically be silenced by government bureaucrats. But this is what it states. We believe in our constitutionally protected freedoms, including freedom of speech, religion, due process, and the right to bear arms. We believe that government should stop interfering in how parents raise their children unless actual abuse is taking place. We stand firmly against gender transitioning of children. And we stand firmly against men who identify as women competing against women in sports or using women's restrooms, changing rooms, or other facilities where women should enjoy their privacy. It's basic conservative beliefs that half of American beliefs have the city for work.
I think we just found it, but it's kind of funny. It was like, as Carlos is reading this, I'm going to see if I can find the policy that would have triggered the woke brigades at the city of Fort Worth. And it's about sports. You do not, you are against men competing in women's sports. Ding, 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 ding. That is the hook that they could use to say that you are in favor of discrimination. I bet you. I bet you.
Yeah. And it's ludicrous that the city of Fort Worth, that the way they handled this whole process was just disgusting, unprofessional, unacceptable.
Well, kind of trolled you. I mean, in the beginning, and you guys posted the email you got. This email confirms our phone conversation, April 18th, where you confirmed that your event, called Dangers of Transgenderism, is an event to educate the audience about the dangers of transgenderism and is not intended to discriminate. Right, exactly right. However, according to the information on your website, your stated beliefs do not comply with the City of Fort Worth Park and Rec Department, which means if somebody tomorrow wants to get the Victory Forest Community Center and have an event called I Am a Man and I'm Going to Have My Genitals Destroyed So That I Can Become a Woman, great! Sign us up. Fantastic. We'll take that deposit all day. You guys are persona non grata. So here's where the happy ending comes. At what point did you learn that 12th District Fort Worth congressional candidate John O'Shea told you, all right, they won't welcome you, I will?
So, you know, he actually reached out and he offered his office space and he posted on Twitter, of course, you know, his outrage and his disappointment in the city of Fort Worth. And so we took that offer. You know, we gladly took that offer. We, you know, we greatly appreciate John O'Shea, who's running for District 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he saved the event. You know, we had the event early this Saturday at 10 a.m. We had, you know, more than 25 people show up, even though it's raining hard and they shut down the event and create so much chaos. Mm-hmm. You know, we still had a turnout, you know, and, you know, we had the event, a bell spoke, we took photos, we made contacts, and of course, shared contacts. But it was a good event. You know, it was a good event at the end of the day. And the one thing that I am very disappointed is the mayor, Maddie Parker. And from what I heard, because apparently she reached out to some people personally, she says that she disagrees with how the city handled this.
Really?
Believes that, yeah, and believes that it was a First Amendment violation. I called her three times. She never returned my call. I wonder why. But the one thing I asked for the mayor is this. We elected you. We voted for you. Do your damn job. I mean, do not be throwing your employees under the bus.
Well, and when did you – so when might she – and we'll talk to her, reach out to her, and I'm also very interested in hearing from John O'Shea's congressional opponent, Craig Goldman. Does he share that? And which he may well. He may well. I'd like to hear from that, from them. When did you hear of Mayor Parker's arrival at the conclusion that this was a First Amendment violation?
Some people – told me. She texted some people, and she even spoke to some people on the phone.
Ahead of time or afterward?
Before. Yes.
Well, God, well, of course, but you guys have been screwed out of the space already, really. I mean, it was done.
And she essentially just texted some people saying to contact the city employees. And I'm like, okay, we elected you. You're the head boss of the city. Why does the mayor do this? I mean, why does the city council exist? You have enough power and influence and leadership to enact, you know, change to hold accountable the city manager. I mean, are you saying that the employees run a rogue bureaucracy and that they're basically not going to be held accountable by the people, you know, by us and by the city council?
If the mayor were passionate enough about this, she could have gotten a hold of Parks and Rec or whoever else and said, guys, what are you doing? Stop it. We have free speech in the city of Fort Worth, and this event will be allowed to happen. Get out of their way.
Yeah. And so, you know, I hope that the mayor, you know, does something and, of course, you know, is strong enough to actually do her due diligence, which is why we elected her to be our mayor in the first place.
What do you want to, well, after the fact, damage is, well, okay, A, damage is done, but congressional candidate John O'Shea rescued the event. You guys had your event, so it's fine. But what should she do now after the fact? Should there be some type of accountability, some type of consequence?
Yes, there should be consequences, accountability, and a public statement that this is going to be corrected. The employees went, you know, they crossed a red line. What they did was unacceptable, and there's going to be accountability, action taken, and ensure that none of this ever happens again. And, you know, an investigation as well, because one of our directors, event director, was actually harassed by an Antifa protester at her house Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this, you know, she uses her nickname out in the public, even on her social media pages. The only place where her real name is basically in government places. So we believe that a city employee leaked information because she's the one who did the application for the event. We believe that a city employee leaked her information to a protester, because how on earth is this protester going to show up and know exactly who this person is, that they're associated with Luca and they live in this address when she uses her nickname out in the public?
Do not know. So, all right. In our final like 60 seconds, tell me about Luca, Latinos United for Conservative Action. How long has that been around? Website is Luca, LUCA-LatinosUnited.com. Pretty explanatory name, but what are you guys up to? What are your plans for 24?
So our plans is to essentially mobilize the Latino community and to get Latinos engaged in conservative action. So that's through registering people to vote, especially in the Latino community. And to just educate and engage and activate the Hispanic population. The Hispanics, you know, they believe in God, they believe in family, and, you know, they believe in traditional values, you know, and they're conservative socially already. And so our job is to educate, mobilize, and to ultimately make an impact. You know, Democrats and the left, they've had a lot of power for a long time. But I think it's time for conservatives to be involved and especially mobilize the Hispanic population and show them, hey, there's a different alternative. You don't have to, you know, lean liberal or vote for the left.
It is a, is it a kind of a broad conceptual conservatism? Or are you guys, now that we clearly know how the this plot's going to go, thoroughly on board with Trump's reelection?
Yes, thoroughly on board with Trump's reelection. You know, we're an America First conservative, you know, Hispanic organization, so we're 100% pro Trump.
No, you look, and it looks like you get more company every day. I mean, you know, I don't know if anybody pretends that Trump's going to get like the majority of the Hispanic vote, but it ain't going to be no 10-15% this time. The numbers are improving, and congratulations for you and everything you guys are doing. And so, Carlos Tercios, Texas director of Latinos United for Conservative Action. Nice to meet you, sir. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. All righty. 8:25. Let's get news next from Nikki and then John O'Shea, the congressional candidate who rescued that event right thereafter. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer. So if a congressional candidate can rescue an event from the fascist leanings of the city of Fort Worth government, seems like a conversation we ought to have. So with Kay Granger's retirement, and one presumes that will remain a Republican district. It's just a matter of who will the Republican be. Will it be Craig Goldman, fresh out of the Texas legislature, or will it be John O'Shea? Mr. O'Shea joins us next. It was his office that said, look, if the city of Fort Worth is going to shut you down with this detransitioning dangers of transgenderism gathering and meeting, you can hold it at my office. How did that go? We'll ask him next. Right now it's 8:31. Mark Davis, Nikki Whaley is in the newsroom.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
Glenn Campbell's birthday would have been 88.
That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch.
A John Hartford composition, The Greatness of Gentle on My Mind.
And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line.
Glenn Campbell passed away back in 2017. Once you download some of that library, do some Wichita Lineman, only like the greatest song ever recorded by anybody. Southern Nights, Time I Get to Phoenix, Ryan Stone Cowboy, even cheesy stuff like that was great in the hands of the great Glenn Campbell. All right, from Gentle on My Mind to an issue on our minds, we just talked to Carlos Tercios, the group that wanted to bring a detransitioner to a Fort Worth Parks and Rec community center, and the city of Fort Worth said, oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. And so what he did share is some smattering of objection from Fort Worth Mayor Mattie Parker, who apparently telegraphed to some people that she didn't agree with what had happened. And I need to know more about the timing of this to see if it's something that she could have rectified. I will simply say this, that if the woke mind virus exists sufficiently within the city of Fort Worth, where they will take a look at a group, LUCA, Latinos United for Conservative Action, and say that because they don't believe men should be in women's sports, that means they are guilty of discrimination. One of the most old, tired smears offered against anybody offering gender sanity, then the city of Fort Worth has a massive problem. Our country has a massive problem with the insanity being offered on this issue. And as we described from in our conversation with Mr. Tercios, when they got blown out of the community center on Hemp Hill, congressional candidate in Texas 12, John O'Shea, got in touch and said, hey, hold your event at my office. Mr. O'Shea joins us for the details on how that happened and maybe a few other things we can talk about as well. John, welcome. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Mark. Thanks for having me back on.
My pleasure. So tell me the story from your perspective. I guess you saw in roughly the same time frame, I guess, as I did and everybody else did, that the city of Fort Worth had kicked this event out of a community center because the evil conservatives don't think that a dude should be in women's sports. That makes them discriminators.
Yeah. So first of all, LUCA is an outstanding organization, and I'm proud to have their endorsement. And Carlos Tercios is a very bright young man who's very politically active, and I admire his work a great deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what Maddie Parker's protestations about, you know, look, at the end of the day, you're the mayor of the city. The buck stops with you. And so when I saw them trying to cancel things, along this line, especially when they're celebrating DEI, and I noticed the diversity and the inclusivity don't apparently include people who have a different perspective or a different point of view. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just seemed like the right thing to do. Unfortunately, this whole issue with transgenderism is something that unless you think the way they think, they want to cancel you as being hateful. And I don't understand how somebody coming and sharing their personal lived experience, something that I thought the left celebrated, is something that is going to be suppressed and shut down in violation of our First Amendment rights because they don't want this gentleman sharing the story of the travesty that he experienced and trying to forewarn others. That's not a position of hate. That's a position of compassion and concern, and I think needs to be broadcast.
It is interesting what they did because Mr. Tercios put up the email they had received from the city, and I think they're trying to be crafty here. They are trying to get away with not shutting down Mr. Garcia, Abel Garcia, or even necessarily shut down this exact event. They went to the LUCA, Latinos United for Conservative Action, website and said, your group seems to have views that are inconsistent with Fort Worth Parks and Rec. And as he shared sort of what they say on their website, I'm sitting there saying, okay, what do they use? What do they use? What do they use? Ding, 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 found it. And it was their opposition to men in women's sports. So that's when they could invoke the portion of their bylaws that says, we're not going to rent space to people who discriminate, like a group that says, hey, we're going to have a speech and no blacks or Jews are welcome. Okay, I can see that. But the whole anti-discrimination trick was what they had up their sleeve all along.
Well, and again, they can frame it however they like, but at the end of the day, the truth is the truth, and we're commanded to follow the truth. In fact, it says, you know, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and thus be saved. And you know, I don't purposely set out to offend anybody, and I don't think any of the members of LUCA do it as well. But at the same time, we're more concerned with offending God than with offending people. And, you know, the whole notion that we can just erase females altogether, call them birthing people, and say that a man with a mental disorder is now allowed to compete when we know the biological differences exist. It's just absurd. And you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm not going to kowtow to their crazed, you know, rantings. And, you know, the very notion of our city, under whatever pretense, shutting down free speech is a clear constitutional violation of our rights, regardless of whatever group they're trying to protect.
That it is. And they say they are for tolerance, but not of points of view that differ. And they say they are for women. And yet this whole trans mania threatens to destroy certain avenues of women's sports. So we reached, and listen, it was the weekend. And so we want to give folks some time because both of y'all are quite busy. I'd love to know Mr. Goldman's view on this. He may wish to register his disapproval of the city of Fort Worth shutting this event down as well. What do you think ought to happen now? I mean, I don't know if I need somebody's head on a platter, but I think I would like the city to say, we really made a mistake here, and in the future, diversity of viewpoints will be welcomed.
Yeah, no, I think that's the appropriate response. I mean, you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. You know, we don't try and crucify one another and jump on that opportunity. But clearly here, the city did make a mistake, and they need to speak out and need to say that regardless of people's diversity of opinions, which they don't celebrate, people do here have First Amendment rights, and we're going to stand by the Constitution.
You know, I want to dwell for a second on the meaning of mistake, because I'm filled with the capacity and the latitude to give people, because Lord knows I've needed it enough in my own life, and others do as well. Was this a mistake? It was. If anything anybody does that is screwed up is a mistake, then sure, broadly defined, it is. They knew exactly what they were doing. They didn't misinterpret the law and unintentionally screw this group out of their event. They weaponized their bylaws specifically to smear a conservative group. So I can hear people driving around saying, of course humans make mistakes. This was no mistake.
No, I agree. And, you know, if they're even willing to fess up and admit to the fact that their interpretation and it was just flat wrong and unconstitutional and illegal, then okay. But no, you're right. I mean, look, it's not surprising that, you know, the government's being weaponized against us, even at the local level. I mean, on the federal level, you know, I don't think the Biden administration's ever bothered to pick up a copy of the Constitution and read through it, because right now the greatest threat to our rights is not from external forces, it's from our own very government. And, you know, every time I turn around, there is some other encroachment, like the Biden administration now trying to redefine Title IX. And again, in my mind, egregiously erase what it means to be a woman, as opposed to actually celebrating that fact.
In our last couple of minutes with John O'Shea, let's take a look here with this. It just, and I think I understand now, I've asked 50 times, why in the world you guys, all of you who are in runoffs, state legislative level, congressional level, why in the world you have to go through all of March, all of April, just about all of May to get to the runoffs. It has to do with sort of, and listen, we're all warm to military vote concerns, and but it just doesn't seem like that should take 3 months. How does the nature of being in a runoff forever, does it help? Does it help you? Does it hurt you? Because it's still, you know, well over a month away.
Well, yeah, I think in my case, it actually has been a help, because candidly speaking, I am the outsider who is trying to get his name known and to be able to visit with the individual voters. I've yet to meet somebody that I've spoken to or spoken in front of who walked away and thought, well, that's not a good candidate. So it's allowed me to broaden my reach and continue to speak directly to the voters, and as well as coalesce the people who voted for other candidates that didn't make the runoff. And I think those people were clearly in my lane as well. In fact, we had a debate this weekend, and the woman who came in fourth actually was there to register her support, and we had a nice visit afterwards. But, you know, I agree. I'm ready any day, any time. But, you know, the more time that exists between the actual primary vote and the primary runoff, is more opportunity for me to visit with the voters.
How'd the debate go?
I was quite pleased.
Shall I probe further? And of course, Mr. Goldman, certainly welcome here. We welcome everybody, especially in the Republican runoff land. What kind of differences do you think are, because obviously primaries are ultimately about policy differences. What are they to your mind?
Well, in his opening statement, Mr. Goldman pointed out that he was the only person with a record. I was a blank slate, did not have a record. And that was the key differentiation. And I said, well, this is true. I'm going to tell you exactly who I am and exactly how I'm going to vote. And I may not be your cup of tea, but I will be honest with you. But I, too, am running on Mr. Goldman's record.
Oh, my. The portions of which you'd like to highlight are?
Well, you know, just the whole fact that we have a Texas-controlled House, that the voters in this state voted 86 Republicans to 64 Democrats. And yet they did not pass a single one of the 8 key party platforms that the delegates at the state convention passed. In fact, they prioritized making Democrat committee chairs once again over the protestations of the Texas Republican voters. They actually packed certain committees with a majority of Democrats. They even had a parliamentarian who used to be an attorney under Barack Obama in the White House. So they couldn't get any of our 8 key platforms passed, but they did have time to pass over 500 Democrat bills. And to me, I can't highlight anymore. We vote in Republicans, and yet they collaborate and work with Democrats and basically betray the Texas voter. And Mr. Goldman was the caucus chair, and he kept saying throughout the debate, it's really hard to get 76 votes. Really? We had 86 Republicans. How is it hard to get 76 votes?
Did the Paxton impeachment come up at all, or is it more of a Dade Phelan Austin Swamp argument at this point?
No, the impeachment did, because, in fact, I pointed out that while they didn't have time to press forward with our agenda, they did have time to collaborate with the Democrats to impeach our attorney general, who is an America First fighter for our freedoms and liberties. And not only did they collaborate with the Democrats to do that, they actually managed to hire a couple of U.S. attorneys from the Biden administration's Department of Justice. So, again, a collaborator is about the only thing I can think of that adequately describes the civil war that's taking on in the Texas House. We only have a few conservative Republicans, that the grassroots voters are getting woken to the situation. And that's why so many people, incumbents, have either left or being primaried or been defeated outright. And there's going to be a change in the Texas House.
John O'Shea, Texas 12. Who's going to be the successor to Kay Granger? O'Shea, O-S-H-E-A, O'Shea 4, the numeral 4, O'Shea4Texas.org, the website. John, appreciate it very much. I know we'll be talking soon, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it. Have a blessed
day. I appreciate you. I will, John O'Shea. Craig Goldman, absolutely welcome. We are runoffs HQ around here. Everybody's always welcome on the show. 8:51, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m., The Answer. One of the weirdest stories in music is Frampton Comes Alive. Live album, 1976. Zillion copies sold. And nobody knew any of the songs. People had scarcely heard of Peter Frampton. It's like, what? All those songs, Do You Feel Like We Do, Show Me the Way, Baby I Love You Way. Nobody heard those until they heard the live versions. So I was part of that whole deal. And I love Frampton Comes Alive. So I said, look, let me go get the four studio albums the guy had put out. And they're all great, too. This is Nowhere's Too Far From My Baby from the self-titled Frampton, released the year before. On Pete Frampton's birthday, he is 74 today and freshly inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame about doggone time. So right now it is time to bring this hour to a close. And let's hop into the 9 o'clock news and the 9 o'clock hour to follow. State Senator Bob Hall is going to join us for two things. First, the issue that Ted Nugent gave us last Friday, going into the weekend, about wildlife management and wild extremism and crazy things going on under the auspice of wildlife management. And then I think we have some stuff to talk about the runoffs, et cetera, et cetera. State Senator Bob Hall and you all get to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Stick around.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.